It's a wonderful thing. Never before has there ever been any such thing as this that's taking place now. You know, God has always been exceptionally good to Israel and to his people. Did you know that as God raised up a king in the Old Testament, God also raised up a seer. There was always a seer. Now, in that day, they recognized the seer, and the king would go to the seer for advice to find out how to please God so that he could be a good ruler and a good king. But our presidents and kings of today, they don't go to the prophets of God. They go to witches. And they go to all kinds of different sources. And they try to figure it out for themselves. But they don't go to the source that God has ordained. If they would go to the source that God has ordained, then our land today and our world today would be blessed the same way that it was back in that day. The Bible speaks of it in different places. It says, and the king's seer. It called him the king's seer. He was put there for the king. And the king would go to him and ask advice when he couldn't understand the thing that was right. And even the judges of Israel, as far back as the church in the wilderness, when they would have problems, all of those judges would resort to Moses, because Moses was a seer. And they would go to Moses and they would find out what they needed to do to please God and what God's pleasure was in the things during their lifetime. But our people won't do that. We are living in a dangerous time, a deadly time, a serious time. Never been a time like it in the history of the world. Never. Men are wicked and wretched, deceitful. And things are not going to get any better. And you hear preachers tell you that things are going to get better. They say God's got everything under control. Why worry about it? Things are going to get better. They're not going to get any better. They're going to get worse. The Bible says that wicked men will wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. Now, if you consider them bad now, wait just a year or two if Jesus tarries, then they'll probably be 10 times as bad as they are right now. The Bible said you prophets prophesy peace when there is no peace. You tell people that everything's going to be all right when it's not going to be all right. You tell them that it's all right with their soul when it's not all right with their souls, God will require their blood at your hand for them to judge it. Things are not all right. Things are worse today than they were a few years ago. And they're going to get worse and worse. And I say this in the behalf of the children of God. The children of God, for them, things are going to get better.
Hallelujah.
Things will get better and better and better until finally it just develops into the millennium. It'll just get so much better, Brother Sutton, until finally just usher in the kingdom and turn the whole world into a garden. It's going to get better. The Bible said the ashes of the wicked we will tread under our feet, and for the wicked it will be black as night, and it will get worse. They won't have any doctors that can bring them healing. The Bible said in that day there will be no healing medicine. All the scientific research will be to no avail. You know, what we do, we give the doctors the glory that belongs to God. Medicines are good. The Bible said a merry heart doeth good like a medicine. And a medicine is good, but a medicine doesn't come from a doctor. Healing doesn't come from a doctor. God, because of the days of sin, in the life of faith in the heart of humanity, has given into the world and into the hands of mankind medical remedies to help them and something to ease their pain and misery while they are absent from the presence of God. He has done this. Now, you say, well, I believe that scientists have done it. Alright, and the question that I would ask is this. If scientists has done it, then why is it that the Bible tells us that in that day there'll be no healing medicines? If scientists is responsible, why can't science continue to bring healing medicines? You know why? Because when the days of grace is over, and everybody's had time to develop their faith and depend on God, then God is not going to continue to let there be in this world medical remedies to ease the pains and misery of the wicked so they can destroy what he has created. He's not going to do it. He's going to stop it. He sent the medical remedies, medical knowledge and different things to ease our people's condition, and I know that they've turned it into a slop hole. I know that. I know the hospitals are nothing less than a slop hole. I know that. Now you say that's not much respect for them. I have no respect for them. They're a slop hole. One of the worst slop holes I've ever seen. In the medical world today, they've taken what God has given. I've made this statement before, that people have put together their pennies, poor folk. Those that couldn't help themselves. They got together their pennies to put a hospital, so to speak, in a certain area. And then somebody went off to college and got some degree and come home and then they took the hospital over. A little medical clique took it over. And they turned it into a slot hole where they can rob the people.
That's right.
They don't give you pills of any kind. They don't keep you live or if you die. You've heard me sitting here how I've known for fun where somebody would go to one doctor and get a prescription and another doctor would see him before he got home and the doctor would tell him, say, if you take that prescription, you're good as a dead man.
Amen.
See, they stripped our ladies off and our men off and they just turned it into a hot pill. Where years ago there was decency. God is not going to let the medical remedies continue on in this world to keep the wicked at ease. It's just God's grace to them now. But he's not going to let it continue on after that he's taken the saints out of this world or perfected them in the knowledge of God. God isn't going to do it. You are foolish to think that he will. In that day there shall be no healing medicines. The Bible said in that day no man shall save them. No man. There will be no salvation. There will be no orators. There will be no presidents. There will be no generals. There will be no great leaders. God has raised up great leaders to save us from war and different things. Give them great intelligence to keep the alien powers off of us. But in that day, there will be none of those great men. God will let you reap what you sow. Now, he said, I'll feed you the fruits of your thoughts. It would pay us to turn back to the prophets, turn back to the seers, and obey God's teachers and obey God's preachers that we might prosper, that our health might be restored to us. Did you know that this is a true fact? That according to the record, during the whole pilgrimage of Israel, not one person was sick during that time.
Amen.
During the whole pilgrimage of Israel, the Bible said that their feet did not as much as swell during all the tremendous troubles and problems that they had in all of the strenuous tasks. Not one time did their feet swell. Their garments never waxed old. You know, I wonder, people get in such a condition of unbelief. I wonder if those Israelites ever stopped to think during that 40 years that they've been wearing the same pair of shoes. You know, people get in such a condition until they actually fail to notice what God's doing. But during 40 years, God let them wear their shoes and let them wear their clothes and took care of them and gave them all that they needed. And they didn't even take time to even think about what God had done for them. All they could do is grumble and mumble and fuss and find fault. Isn't that typical of the church of today? We've got the people here. Have a good husband. Does the wife ever notice it? No. All she can see is his fault. Have a good wife? Does the husband ever notice her? No, all he can see is her fault. Have a good family? Same condition. A good mother and daddy? No. See, have a good
preacher?
No.
Have a good congregation?
Well, I never noticed that. All they do is find the fault. Is that right? But I'll tell you something, folks. Those that mumble and grumble died in the wilderness. And tonight, some of you that mumble and grumble are going to perish in your carnal mind. You're wandering around in your carnal mind. I want to talk with you just a minute here. I want to read from the 17th chapter of the book of Ezekiel. I want to show you what God thinks about Israel. And I want to show you what God thinks about the church, because Israel is typical of the church. And the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, put forth a riddle and speak a parable unto the house of Israel. And say, thus saith the Lord God, a great eagle with great wings, long wings, full of feathers, which had dyed his colors, came unto Lebanon. And took the highest branch of the cedar. He cropped off the top of his young twigs and carried him to a land of traffic. He set it in a city of merchants. He took also the seed of the land and planted it in a fruitful field. He placed it by great waters and set it as a willow tree. And it grew and became a spreading vine of low stature, whose branches turned toward him, and the roots thereof were under him. So it became a vine, and brought forth branches, and shot forth sprigs. There was also another great eagle with great wings and many feathers. And behold, this vine did bend her roots toward him, and shot forth her branches toward him, that he might water it by the furrows of her plantation. It was planted in a good soil by great waters, that it might bring forth branches, and that it might bear fruit, that it might be a goodly vine. Say thou, thus saith the Lord God, shall it prosper? Shall he not pull up the roots thereof and cut off the fruit thereof, that it wither? It shall wither in all the leaves of her spring, even without great power, are many people to pluck it up by the roots thereof. Yea, behold, being planted, shall it prosper? Shall it not utterly wither when the east wind toucheth it? It shall wither in the furrows where it grew. Now, I want you to notice what the Lord is saying to Israel. Yea, he tells them that it's a great eagle. He said, a great eagle went into the top of the cedars of Lebanon. Now, when you talk about the cedars of Lebanon, we could get into a lot of revelation on this, but I promise to just exhort you a little bit to give you a few thoughts from the scriptures tonight. When you speak of the cedars of Lebanon, you're speaking of the finest that there is. How many of you know that cedar, real cedar, won't rot? The cedars of Lebanon. You're speaking of a heavenly thing. A heavenly thing. Something like Solomon built the house of God out of it. The branches that reach up high. Did you know that as a Christian, if you become what we refer to as a cedar of Lebanon, your top reaches way up into the heavens. Your conversation and your minds go way up into the heavens. The cedars of Lebanon. It said that this great eagle with its great beautiful feathers went into the top and took the sprigs. Came back. And it tells how that this great thing was planted. How that it grew up. But it did not honor the one that had planted it. According to the scriptures, there was no honor. And there was no reverence toward the one that planted. But according to the Bible said it turned itself toward another eagle, which had nothing. existence, if God has placed us here in this world, and it is God that waters us from on high, and God is the one that gives us our fruit, God is the one that lifts us up, then if I turn with my body, with my mind, with my talents, and honor a foreign power, will I prosper? Will I continue to go on? Or will the wrath of God turn toward me and I be cut out? He gave the parable of the vineyard. And he said that I planted it in a good soil. And he said when I looked for fruit on it, it brought forth wild grapes instead of good grapes. He said, I did everything that I could do to my vineyard. He said, nothing could be done more to the vineyard than what I did. But when I looked for fruit, he said, I got sour fruit. I got wild fruit. I never got anything that was under the control of the Heavenly Spirit. He said, we are a vineyard. We are a vine. We are a plantation of God. God plants. And he said, we were to put forth branches. That is, multiply spiritually. Multiply and replenish the earth. That's what we're supposed to do. Multiply and replenish the earth. That we might bring forth something for God, and that we might become a great vine, a great pen, something to spread out all the world. Preach the gospel to every creature. Multiply and take the gospel and take the power of God, the understanding of God, and the knowledge of God, and put forth branches. But the Bible said that they didn't do that. The man that got the talent did not put it to the exchanges. When God came back, he wanted to know why he had not put it to the exchanges, why there was no use for his coming. And so it is. God is wondering why have we cut ourselves off from doing the things that God commanded us to do. Like Israel. He wanted to know why that Israel did not prosper. Why did Israel did not multiply into things of God? Why did Israel try to take things to the rest of the nations and convert the nations to what they understood and the things that was right? God raised up Israel for that purpose. Somebody would say, well, I don't see where that's in the Bible. God said, someday I'll make them the head of the nation. Why does he want to make them the head of the nation? When God raised up Israel, they did not do the things that God told them to do, did they? And God cut them off. You know why? They were typical of the church. They were typical of you people. God will cut the people off that will not do the things he tells them to do. Is that right? Amen. Things that God commands, we've got to do. Now, if we don't do it, then God will cut us off. But God planted a great nation. I don't think anybody could say that Israel wasn't a great nation. Especially kings and leaders. They admired Israel as a nation. Her commonwealth in the wilderness. The way that her leaders were. The intelligence. They were told by God. Said that when you go into Canaan, that the people will be afraid of you. And they will admire you because I'm your God. And because of your great understanding, God said. That's what he told them. He said the nation will look to you because of your great understanding. Now, but look what Israel did. God rejected them and made them the tail. He said, I'll make you the head and not the tail. You'll be in many nations if you do the things that I tell you. He said, but if you reject me, I'll make you the tail. I'll make you the tail if you reject me. But if you accept me, God said, I'll make you the head. Is that right?
Amen.
I'll make you the head. They rejected God. God cut them off, and today Israel has been the nearest nothing of a people and a nation of anybody in all the world. There isn't a nation anywhere that's ever went through what Israel went through with. God despised them in his sight.
Amen.
Let me tell you something. God is going to bring them back.
That's right.
He's going to make them the head of the nation. This time Israel will do what God tells them to do. This time they will lift up God. This time the plantation of that vine will branch out, and every nation in the world will hear the gospel and hear God's word and God's way and God's desire from the lips of his chosen people.
Hallelujah.
Which is the apple of his eye. Someday it's coming. God chose Israel, a great plantation. God did it. God did everything that could be done to Israel. But Israel, he said to Israel, all day long I stretched forth my hands, but you wouldn't listen at me. There came the day when he cut them off. And then God raised up Paul the Apostle and brought Paul the Apostle. God always raises up a man.
Amen.
God always raises up a man.
That's right.
A lot of people say, well, God will deal with me this way, or God will deal with me that way. But God will always raise up a man. Always.
Amen.
And when you reject the man, you rejected God.
Right, amen. What's the word?
When you reject the man, you rejected God. These hot-headed, contrary bunch of people that go around saying, now don't get entangled with the man. Don't get your eyes on the man. Keep your eyes on God. That's a snake in the grass. Just watch him. What he's trying his best to do is get you to get your eyes on him. He's a snake in the grass. That's right. The Bible said all flesh is as grass. And he's right in the middle of it, a serpent. That cunning, crude mind of his, trying to get a hold of him.
That's right, amen.
God never works except in a man.
That's right, amen.
I challenge anybody in the world, show me where God ever worked except in a man. Show me. Show me. Somebody would say, God dried up the Red Sea. How did he do it? By the man Moses.
Amen.
Somebody would say, well, God didn't use no man. He stopped the sun. How did he do it? By the man Joshua.
Amen.
Everything that God has ever done, God did it by man. Somebody would say, wait a minute, Brother Pike. God, when he created the heavens, he didn't use a man, but the Bible said he did.
That's right,
he
amen.
He created the heavens by the man Christ Jesus.
Amen.
And
God
did nothing for you that was
right.
Everything God has ever done, he did it by man.
Amen.
My
right.
brother, God today is a spirit, and God is still working in man.
Amen.
And whatever God does, it's going to be in man, because man is God's image. It is God's glory. It is God's desire to raise up men. God would like to use you. But with that temper of yours, God ain't going to use you. God can't use you. Trying to be a pretty boy, God ain't going to use you. I said the other day, God doesn't have time for such foolish things. Is somebody running around trying to be a pretty boy, or somebody running around trying to be a sex fiend, trying to get the ladies to cater to it?
That's right.
Or God doesn't have time for somebody that's looking for fame and popularity, leadership, wanting somebody to follow. God hasn't got time for that kind of foolishness. God wants somebody that's not concerned about his face and not concerned about his body and not concerned about women and not concerned about money and not concerned about his ministry, but concerned about God and God's people and what God wants.
Amen. Man, that's right.
The biggest bunch of babies I've ever seen in my life. In the day that we're living in, what is it? They want everything but the will of God. They want God to raise them up. And they want God to put them on the radio. They want God to give them tent. And God to give them this. And God to give them that. And when you get right down to the bottom of it, why that they want God to do it? So that they can be somebody in the eyes of the people. Can you imagine something like that? And don't you know that God's just going to raise up people so that they can get up and have a following so somebody will say, look at him. Look at him. Can't you imagine God spending his time like that? People are dying and going to hell. People are being lost. Why, we send somebody off to seminary to become a preacher over here that we can bring him back and put him on a salary and he's our preacher.
Right.
Can't you imagine God playing with things like that? Let me tell you something. God loved David of old because David loved God's people.
Amen.
If you don't have a love for humanity tonight, God don't need you. If you don't have enough love for people tonight to put yourself on the cross and suffer in your body and your in everything that you've got for lost humanity, God doesn't need you. If you've just got a temper that you're going to let go when you want to and fuss and pout, and you've got a spirit that's going to go after the things of the world and all you're going to be interested in is the things of the world, God doesn't need you. It doesn't matter whether you're a woman or whether you're a man or whatever you are. God doesn't have any time for you. God wants somebody that's sober, somebody that can think according to God's. These people that reason in their mind, all the time reason, all the time reason. Every time you see it, they reason. They reason over this, they reason over that. And everything you say, they reason over. And everything that's said, anybody else said, they reason. They talk to different ones, they reason. All the time reason. God don't have any time. Somebody said, Brother Pike, don't you believe God wants us to reason? Not that way. Not that way. Jesus said, come and let us reason. reason with each other. And we reason in our own mind. The Bible said we're leaning to our own understanding. Is that right? Amen. We're leaning to our own understanding. Then our carnal mind is enmity with God. I'm going to close. I told you I'm just going to go just a little bit here to exhort you. But I want to tell you something. You remember what I'm telling you tonight. If we intend to do anything for God, it's going to take faith. Now you listen to me, folks. Now, I know some of you, we say could care less about working for God. But some of you want to work for God. I know that's true because I've talked with some of you. But I want to tell you something tonight. If we are going to do something for God, we're going to have faith. Amen. It's going to take faith. Now don't kid yourself. I don't care how learned you get. I don't care how much you know. You're just going to be like somebody sitting in the mud, spinning his wheels. You're not going to go anywhere. Knowing a whole lot is no good. Solomon said, with that, get a little bit of understanding. Use a little understanding. You got a lot of knowledge, use a little understanding. You might know everything that's in this book, but what you need is a little bit of understanding of how to use it.
Yeah, that's right.
And I want to share with you a little understanding. Solomon prayed, God, give me an understanding heart. Give me an understanding heart, God. Let me understand. I want an understanding heart. I want to understand what God wants. I want to understand how to please God. I want to understand how to help God to do something for his kingdom. That pleased God well when Solomon asked that. And God blessed Solomon. He never stopped blessing Solomon until Solomon got his mind on the things of the world. When he did, God quit blessing him. But I will tell you tonight, it's going to take faith. If we're going to make this journey for God, if we're going to be able to get this message over, if we're going to be able to help the world and reach the people, the cries of Africa, and the different places that we've got mail from, and the different places that have cried out to other ministers down through the years for help, and many of them have never received help, if we're going to be able to reach the people, it's going to take faith in God. You can't reach them any other way. There's no need of kidding yourself and trying to make believe. You've got to really believe. You've got to use some faith. Some of you people are so carnal-minded, so natural-minded, and without the spiritual things of God and understanding, why you couldn't believe if you tried. But it's going to take faith. It ain't going to take running around saying, look at my ministry and when my ministry's coming and what I'm going to do and what can I do. God ain't interested in that. To begin with, the Bible said if you testify, you said your minister's gone to start with. Your witness is not true.
That's right.
But if we're going to do something for God, we're going to have to believe. We're going to have to come together in a unit. We're going to have to bind ourselves together as an army. And be under the leadership and command and find us a rank and find our place in God and grow in the measures of faith and grace in God. And then God will use you. God will use you. I tell you this much. If you'll go out here in the world, there's a lot of great corporations in the world. A lot of great corporations. I mean some that are chains and networks all over the world. You go out there and let them put you on a job. And you start running interference. You get this man over here listening to you instead of listening to the boss. You go down here and you put your 2 bits in down here. And you get that fellow over there listening to you. And it won't be long before you will be taken out of the corporation altogether. They won't have you. You're troublemaker. God is, a lot of folks say, well, God isn't that way. God is out there doing the same way. That's what that is. It's a type of shadow. The Bible said to mark those that cause division among you that's contrary to the thing that you've been taught, mark them, the Bible said. Separate yourself from them and have no company with them.
That's right.
Because God despises them. The Bible says one thing God despises, even so discord among the brethren. You know what discord is? Just get the guitar out of tune. Just twist the key a little. You know, a lot of people say, oh, I wouldn't do that for nothing. You know, I wouldn't leave brothers and sisters off for nothing. You know what discord is? Just twist the key a little with your own understanding. Just try to figure it out yourself or try to tell somebody else how to do it the way you think. And you've got into discord and you've got a broken unity with the ministry. You've got a broken unity with the brothers and sisters. Just a little gossip. You know, I said here the other night, what's wrong with the children? That the parents have eaten sour grapes and the children's teeth are on edge.
Yes,
that's where the problems are. Now, folks, if we're going to do anything, we're going to have to believe. It takes thousands of dollars to be able to spread the gospel. And I don't come to you for it. because you couldn't get it. There ain't enough of you here to get it. But I tell you what you can do. You can pray with me, and you can believe with me, and you can lock arms with me, and we can get together, and as a unit, just as Israel did, please God, and we can spread the gospel to the end of the world. We can do it. By believing, by praying, it's going to take real faith. And people that gossip and backbite and find fault, that won't listen to the things of God, will never have faith. Not under salvation or under healing or nothing else. Now listen, as I try to find a place to close here, listen, some of you ladies, some of you women, now, as a sister of Christ, I love you. I think you're wonderful. And I appreciate the stand that you take, wearing the long dress and being a lady. But some of you are as stubborn as an ox. You couldn't tell you nothing. There ain't no way in the world to get nothing through your head. Now, out yonder, the old country fried method is, they say you're just thick-headed. But you can't tell you nothing. But I love you, and I want to help you. But I'm going to tell you something tonight. You better get straightened out. You better listen and get straightened out. Whatever you do, you better listen. I'm going to tell you again. God doesn't call women to preach. I say, well, I believe that, well, why don't you stop preaching then? God doesn't call you to go to your neighbor's house and preach to them. And God doesn't call you to preach to your husband. God called you to be a wife. Christ will be a wife. Now, won't you do that? That's where he's supposed to be. Now, you men out there that's not called to preach. You're not called to preach. Why don't you quit preaching? If you're not called to preach, why don't you quit preaching? If God didn't call you to preach, why do you keep trying to lead everybody the way that you think they ought to go? If God raised up the ministry to do that, why don't you let them do it? Paul said, these that do such things, they add to my sorrow and my heartaches and my troubles and my problems. Because I'm trying to keep a family together for Jesus. How many of you understand what I'm saying tonight? How many of you care about what I'm saying tonight?
Amen.
All right, you don't have to care. You don't have to care. You can go to hell. You don't have to care. It's up to you. But I speak as unto those that are wise, to wise men, wise women that will listen. We are at the end of the way. We are farther down the trail than you will ever know. While we're sitting here tonight, I am aware of the fact that possibly it's too late already for some of you to make it in. And what I mean is too late for some of you that are so sure that you made it in, that are so sure that you're right with God, that are so sure that everything's right with you. But I'm afraid, as I check your spirit from time to time, in the light of the gospel and the word of God, that you played around too late, that you know too much and didn't do it. Cut yourself off from God. Now, let's hope that you haven't. Let's hope for the best. But I'm afraid that some of you have. But I want you to think about yourself tonight. Stop thinking about another brother and another sister and say, well, I know Brother Pye, he's really preaching to them tonight. I know he's telling them, but I know that they're wrong. You know, I preach up here and I pick up people's spirit, and their minds will be on Sister So-and-so and Brother So-and-so and say, yeah, I know what he's talking about. I know what he's talking about. I know who he's talking about. You know who I'm talking about? I'm talking about you.
That's right, amen, brother.
In case you won't know who I'm talking about you. So if somebody told you up here that I'm talking about something else, you better check into what's talking to you. Because I'm talking to you tonight.
That's right, amen.
Jesus said, what I say to one, I say unto all. I'm talking to you tonight.
Amen.
When I'm up here as a minister of God speaking through me, God speaking to all of them. God's no respect to person. God don't have a wife. God don't have daughters. God don't have sisters and brothers in the natural. That's right. God is the Spirit. God speaks to every one of you the same. You don't have any feelings. When he's talking to my wife. I'm her wife as a man, but not her husband as a man. But I am not her husband as when I'm up here, when it's God speaking. I'm not her husband. God speaking to her and telling her to straighten up her crooked ways is like all the rest of you. Same way with my daughters. Same way with my son-in-laws. Same way with my relatives here. My kinfolks. All of them. God's in here, he's talking to all of you. When I'm out there, I talk to you as a man. I might shake hands with you, put my arms around you, tell you I love you as a man. I love my wife as a husband. When I'm up here, it's God.
Man, brother.
I have no respect of person to nobody, my children, nobody else. I'm telling you, the ones that God's speaking to, he's speaking to you. So the thing for you to do is straighten up your crooked ways. I'll tell you something else. When God's speaking, he's speaking to Brother Pike too. He's speaking to me. I try my best to walk straight and to do what's right. But when God's speaking up here, he's speaking to me too. That's for me too. Every individual God is speaking to. And I want to tell you something. I purposed in my heart a long time ago that I wouldn't mess with the things of God. That I wouldn't do it. I said, God, the Lord spoke to my heart. He made it very plain. I'm not saying that God worded it like this, but this is the way he told me. He said, don't you meddle with what I'm doing, or I'll put you in the cemetery too. He told me very plain. He said, son, you're no more than anybody else to me. I'll put you in the cemetery as quick as I will anybody else. Don't you meddle with it. And I'm going to tell you something, folks. If God will talk to me, and I'm a minister, and God has given me a revelation, and God has raised me up for this, and God tells me he'll do that to me, you can be sure he'll do it to you.
That's right, amen.
You can be sure that he'll do it to you. If he tells me as a minister, he'll do it to me. When he's called me to lead you people, you can be sure he'll do it to you.
Amen.
You just remember that. God didn't have no respect to person. God did not let Moses go into the promised land because he disobeyed.
That's right.
Somebody said, well, Moses smote the rock. And that's what caused it. That wasn't what caused it. That wasn't what caused it. Moses stood up there and said, you bunch of rebels. Must I bring you water? God said, Moses, you never glorified me in the eyes of the people. You glorified Moses. For that, you won't go into the kingdom.
That's right.
And he didn't. I'm not up here to glorify Brother Pike tonight. God will glorify me. I'm up here to glorify Jesus. I'm up here to praise Jesus. I praise you in a good word. But I'm up here to glorify God. And I'm up here to be God's man without respect to person. Some of you are so much in unbelief that when I stand behind the sacred desk, I don't feel anything spiritual about you. I feel your carnal thoughts. Even toward me, I feel your carnal thoughts. But there's one thing about it. While you stand out there and think carnal, and while you size me up, and while you weigh me up, and while you evaluate me in your mind, I'm going right on preaching the gospel across the nation. I'm going right on sending literature into the foreign fields of Africa and Mexico. I'm going right on trying to help those that are out on the field by giving them tents and tractors and cars, my offerings or whatever I can. I'm going right on praying during the night. When you're in your bed asleep, I'm going right on praying and talking with God and trying to do something for God. I'm going right on day after day coming up here, trying to keep this thing turning up here. So it can be a soul in the station. You can evaluate me any way you want to. Don't make any difference. You're carnal minded anyway. But I'll tell you one thing, while you're doing that, I'm going right on with God.
Praise.
I'm going right on with God. So think of me like you want to. It doesn't make any difference. But I'm concerned about the way God thinks. Now you can accept me as a leader, or you can reject me as a leader. That's immaterial with me. I would like for you to accept me as a leader because I'd love to do something for you in the Lord Jesus. I would like for you to. But it's immaterial with me. Whether you do or not, it don't mean nothing. You say, well, why do you say that, Brother Pike? Because Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice, and you've not lost one of them. I don't worry about whether I'm going to have a living to have a biscuit, those kind of things. I'm not worried about that. God's always done that. He's always took care of me. He's always with me. But I'm concerned about lost souls. I'm concerned about your welfare. You remember this in closing. Some of you will die. Don't forget that. You're going to die. Yeah, you might think you ain't, but you're going to die. Some of you are going to die. When you die, it won't be 3 seconds after you close your eyes in death until you remember what I said. My dad passed away just a few months ago. My wife's dad passed away. You can believe that right now, my dad, Mr. Gray, my dad's not. They might not have had too much confidence in me when they lived. They might not have believed what I said. But you can believe one thing right now, they believe what I said. Right now, they remembered every word I ever spoke, and every other preacher too. And right now, they understand thoroughly whether I was right or whether I was wrong. You say, well, I don't know. Well, about 3 seconds after you close your eyes in death, then you'll know.
That's
There won't be any doubts about it. Won't be any wondering about it then. You'll know then.
I said, well, I'm not planning to die. I feel there's a possibility that some of you that are younger than me, maybe in your 30s, maybe in your 40s, some of you women, or maybe younger, are nearer to the grave than some of the older people. I feel that man. And if it's right, it's your blame. But I feel that man. I feel that some of you may be closer than some of the old people as you refer to. So you better stop doing what you're doing. You better start thinking. Because things can happen to you anytime. It happen to me anytime. You want a wise man, you'll be wiser. Rebuke a fool. You can tell if I got any fools in here, you just watch. When you get around them, they'll tear Brother Pike to pieces. They'll cut him to pieces. They'll tell you about all of his mistakes and how that he this didn't mean that, that didn't mean this, and so and so. Just wait. If I've got any food, you, that's what they'll do. Ladies or men alike. You rebuke one of them, you'll get yourself a blot. But if you've got wise people, they'll love you.
Hallelujah.
The Lord showed me something. I want to pray. I want you to bow your heads with me. And I want to pray. I want to ask God to do something right now. I might not see the fruits of it immediately, but I believe I will later. I want to pray for you right now. I love you. I want to say this again. I love you. I respect you. I thank you, wonderful. All of you. I think you're great people. That's why I'm trying to keep you that way in the Spirit of the Lord. I know God's going to bless you. I know He's going to help you. I know He's going to heal your sick bodies because I'm praying for you and asking God every day. I'm asking the Lord to help us, to help you, to heal and to save your soul, to bless your little children, to bless you on the highways, to bless you on the job when other people are going hungry, to take care of you, to give you a spirit of peace, love, and joy, and rest, and deliverance from all the oppressions of life. I'm praying for you. There's not only one here that I don't love, that I'm not praying for, that I'll do anything I can for you. When I speak to you, I speak to all of you to try to help you. Whatever you do, listen. I'm not the kind of person that has personal feelings. I don't have any personal feelings toward anybody. I got rid of all that years ago. I don't think nothing personal toward anybody. No matter what you think toward me, that's the truth. I don't. Jesus said, unless you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will not forgive your trespasses. Every man, I don't care who he is, I don't care what he's done to you, you got to forgive him. You got to love him. You got to be his brother. You got to love him from your heart, or God will not forgive your trespasses. Now, let's just lift our hands up one more time now. And I want to pray for you. I want to ask God to help you and bless you. And I believe He will. You work with me, and I'll work with you. Father of heaven, I love you tonight. I feel a person's heart here tonight, Jesus. A person that's never known the riches of your love. I didn't feel it, God, until just a minute ago. Just a few minutes back, Lord. But they like what they've heard, Father. They like it. Their spirit shows it. And they're not taking a rebellion against it. But rather to the contrary, Heavenly Father, they're wanting to know more about it. And Father, I believe they're one of your elect. I believe with all my heart they're one of your elect. And that you've reached out and that you've got them. I believe that, Lord. I believe you showed it to tonight as far as
Hallelujah.
Tonight, I claim the soul. In the name of Jesus, for Christ's sake,
hallelujah.
I claim it tonight. I plead the blood of the Lamb over it tonight. Father, to save it, God, to break the yokes off of it, to take away every evil. Dear God, to free it. In the name of Jesus, dear, the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, tonight. Hear,
Lord.
Hear, Lord. In the name of Jesus, I'm asking you tonight to reach out. I want you to heal these people tonight, Jesus. Every person here tonight, I want you to do something special for them, for their families, God, for their little children. I want you to do something special tonight. I want you to heal them, Jesus. Save them, Lord. Elevate their faith, God, into great realms and heights of your glory. Do it in Jesus' name tonight. I'm asking you to do it. I feel faith right now, Jesus. I ask you to heal. And I ask you to save. I ask you to forgive for Christ's sake tonight, Jesus. Oh, mighty God of heaven, as I feel your presence tonight, heal these sick bodies, forgive their sins, take away their iniquities, give them another chance, and help them tonight. Go with them, Lord. Father, strengthen their nerves. Every individual here tonight that has a problem with the nerves, Jesus, I ask you especially to strengthen those nerves, God. Strengthen those nerves in the name of Jesus tonight. Give them a special touch. Strengthen their faith tonight. Everyone that's weak in faith tonight, I ask you to strengthen them, Jesus. God, heal every sick body. Every sick person here tonight. Every person that's afraid of cancer. Lord, that's afraid of every disease, God, that's come upon humanity. I pray tonight, God, that you would heal. And dear God, I pray in Jesus' name that wherever we heard, Lord, wherever, God, that our voice goes to those that are listening, that you'll heal and that you'll save and that you'll forgive. Oh, God, take away the iniquity. To break the yokes, Jesus, as these people believe. I pray that you'll do it. I believe, God, that you'll hear my prayer. Heal in the name of Jesus for your glory. I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. I want you to shake hands with somebody. Tell them you love them.